I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
And earlier tonight, I called Donald Trump to tell him that I congratulated him on his victory. And now going forward, he will have my full endorsement.
We're going to have a deportation level that we haven't seen in this country for a long time, since Dwight Eisenhower, actually.
This is a thunderous victory tonight. History making, history shaking.
And yet here he is winning a historic victory in Iowa. This guy, I mean, in some ways, this is more impressive even than his first victory in 2016.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years, I'm rocking my pants, foot suckers in fear, making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Overpowering, over the competition, I'm towering, wrecking shop. When I drop these lyrics that'll make you call the cops, don't you dare stare, you better move. Don't ever compare me to the rest that'll all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily. We are in live Washington, D.C. Today is January 16th, 2024. Anno Domini, don't call it a comeback. Been here for years. Look, Trump went in Iowa, dominated the fatal four-way against Nikki, Vivek, Ronnie D. He hit four finishers in 30 seconds. Big bootleg drops, big bootleg drops, big bootleg drops, hitting the stone-cold stunner to Nikki Haley, a tombstone to end DeSantis' entire career. He didn't need The Undertaker. He didn't need Kane, but Kane was there for backup. He was there watching, applauding. Because everybody saw what happened. Everybody saw what we've been waiting for, what the American people have been waiting for since November 3rd of 2020. Since that night when the screw job hit, the 2020 screw job of Biden and all of the ballots, all the mail-in ballots and the drop boxes and the mules, everybody remembers the screw job. And ever since that night, we've been waiting. We've been waiting for another chance, another opportunity to get another crack at it, to get another crack, another turn up at bat, another bite at the apple, if you will. And here's the thing, folks. We haven't seen a massacre in round one like that since the days of Mike Tyson. And in the midst of all this, you got the trials, you got the indictments, you got people coming at him six ways from Sunday. They're trying to take his business away. They're trying to take his family away. They're trying to take his freedom away. They raided the man's house. And on top of all of that, he's still going strong. He's up in New York today. He's already in court. He's facing them down there. He's going to New Hampshire tonight. You don't get it yet. You're only making him more powerful. You're only giving him more energy, and he's feeding off of it the same way that he is feeding off of the carcasses of his defeated enemies right now. And all I have to say is this, folks. This world and then the next. Because we are going to win everything. We are going to achieve total domination. We are going to conquer every land before us. We are going to conquer the stars and colonize them. No one will be able to stop us. What have you tried to throw at us that you haven't thrown yet? What have you tried? The riots, the unrest, Antifa, BLM, bring it all on. Activate all of your sleeper cells. Activate all of your networks. Activate all the wet work, all the black ops, every project you got. Come bring it. Bring every piece of it, because we will be here. And I'll tell you something. For 8 years, you've been running this game at us. And we're still here. We're still standing. We're still standing strong, because there's nothing more solid than a man made of solid brick. And you saw Brick Suit brought up on stage just last night. And that's a proxy for this movement, for this people's movement, for the MAGA movement. We're made of solid brick. We aren't going anywhere. The wind, the rain, the brawl in the blizzard, you're never going to defeat us. So it's time to lay out and take that sweet chin music and wait for the 1, 2, 3. Because when the bell rings, we're still not going to be done with you. You're done when we say you're done. Stay tuned. Get a big show ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode. And we're putting them out every single day of the week.
Rolled with Bloods. And them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily, magnanimous day for magnanimity. But at the same time, folks, there's a lot to be nervous about there when we look at the state of our world, we look at the state of our country, the state of our cities. Open up social media, turn on the news. All you see is crime, societal decay, degeneracy. A lot of people, they'll just run out and buy a gun. I get it. But what happens when you get that gun? You bring it home, you put it in your safe, and it sits there. And if there is ever an emergency, you are not going to be prepared, and you'll run the risk of hurting yourselves or others. Look, there's no way around it. You need to train with your firearm, and you need to train often. Unfortunately, it is time-consuming to go to the range, assuming there's even one nearby, and ammo prices currently, thanks to Bidenflation, are through the roof. So we have the iTarget system. An iTarget was invented so you could practice anytime in the safety and convenience of your own home. Just download the iTarget Pro app, load your caliber-specific laser bullet into your firearm, and start training. You can practice alone, compete with friends, or use it to safely train friends and family who are new to firearms. Go to itargetpro.com and use 10% off at checkout when you use promo code POSO. This is the safest, smartest way to train. That's why competitive shooters, they trust dry fire training as part of the regimen. You can too, so get it today. Letter itargetpro.com, itargetpro.com, promo code POSO. You know, I know a lot of people have been waiting for this, and this is... this is historic victory, folks. No one has ever won the Iowa caucuses with a margin like this. You can put together, we've been crunching some numbers here at the Human Events factory, and you could put every margin of victory together all the way back to the 1990s on the GOP side, and it still will not equal the 30-point margin that Trump won by last night. And I remember a lot of people telling me for the last year, really the last 3 years, just give up on this guy. He's too old. He's over the hill. The movement's over. Everything's done. I said, I'm not going to give up. Someone else who's not going to give up is named Gavin Wax. And he joins us today from New York City, head of the New York Young Republicans. Gavin, your club was one of the first in the country, I think the first in the entire country, to endorse Trump. Tell me, What is it like, given the trajectory of the last 3 years, and this is what we want to talk about today, November 3rd of 2020 to now. Talk to me about the trajectory and this historic victory, but remember, don't call it a comeback.
Well, thank you for having me on, Jack, and you are correct. The New York Republican Club was one of the first organizations in the country, certainly the first YR organizations in the country, to endorse President Donald J. Trump, endorsed him a few hours before he formally announced his reelection campaign. We were lambasted by the media. I actually pulled up a screenshot of his Daily News hit piece that came out shortly thereafter saying, why are the New York City Young Republicans endorsing President Trump. Well, it looks like we made the right decision. We stuck to our principles. We stuck with loyalty and our convictions. And it paid off because he just won a massive, resounding victory, an electoral mandate in Iowa, winning by numbers that we've never seen before in the caucuses, winning, I don't know, 99, 98 counties, effectively 99, we'll call it that. And it just goes to show the power of MAGA. MAGA is ascendant. MAGA is on the upswing. We are not going away. We are here to stay. And it also just goes to show that many people who thought President Trump was dead maybe a year or so ago, dead politically speaking, they thought that, his time has already come and gone. Now it's the time of Ron DeSantis. They could not have been proven more wrong. Ron DeSantis came out of this caucus looking weaker than ever, looking more pathetic than ever. His online surrogates are having meltdown after meltdown. This was a great victory, a great way to start off the year, great momentum going into New Hampshire. And I think we really need to start pivoting shortly thereafter to the general election, because this thing, anyone who's paying attention, any objective observer knows this thing is already over.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And as we look forward, you know, there's been some analyses that have gone out and they said, well, you know, and I've heard this talking point that's already coming out of the DeSantis camp and others that, you know, Trump, you know, couldn't win 49%, that 49% voted against Trump. And this is sort of like he wins by 51, so he lost 49. Okay, got it. So the question then becomes, does he have full control of the party? Now, any political analyst will tell you that, all right, when you put up, you know, numbers like this, obviously people are going to make their choices. Also, you've never seen anyone in the history of the Iowa caucuses achieve a victory like this. But one way to look at it as well is that Ron DeSantis ran as sort of Trump light. Right. Sort of remember, it was Trump without the baggage, Trumpism without Trump. So that's still MAGA. Vivek Ramaswamy obviously embraced MAGA, in some ways embraced it almost at its purest form. And so you really can't say that those votes were anti-MAGA. And so this is why when you saw in those entrance polls and exit polls last night, 81% of people said that they are pro-America first. So really, the only way you look at this is that the voters that Trump isn't going to win, the voters that he might need to win over in his own party, it's only the paltry 19% that Nikki Haley won. And oh, by the way, we have to remember that there's a lot of Democrats and independents that came in to support her to block Trump. So really, when you're talking about Nikki Haley's victory, she's only, at least in the state of Iowa, she's really only commanding about 12 to 15% of the vote. We're really going to see that going forward up in New Hampshire. She's going to try to make a big stand there. What do you say, Gavin Wax? You're not far from New Hampshire. You know the area well.
No, listen, I think everything you're saying is correct. The goalposts can't keep moving fast enough for the dissents and the rest of the Never Trumpers in the party. I mean, they're trying to spin this in a way that it would make Baghdad Bob blush. I mean, it's absolutely pathetic what they're trying to do. But you already explained the electoral math here. I mean, theoretically, if this was a head-to-head, first off, all of the Vivek vote would have gone to Trump immediately. And then it depends on who is the head-to-head against. If the head-to-head is against between Trump and DeSantis, well, frankly speaking, much of that, a lot of voters would still be voting for Trump. You still would have seen him pushing north of 60% with Vivek. Now, if it's with Haley, well, most of those DeSantis supporters will probably end up going to Trump over Haley. Not to mention, without Haley in a theoretical head-to-head, you're losing all of these Democrats who are registering same day to vote in the caucuses. So no matter which way you split it or splice it or cut it or dice it, President Trump is the dominant force in the Republican Party. He is the leader of the Republican Party. He vanquished all his opponents beautifully last evening. And there's no way that they could spin this. They could point to whatever exit poll, whatever stupid factoid, whatever dumb little piece of data they want. They spent $40 million to come in a distant second place. They visited 99 counties not to win a single county. This is an embarrassment. This is a massive electoral loss for Ron DeSantis and his entire grifting, consultant-driven, Beltway-approved campaign. It's a disaster. Now, going forward, the only saving grace for the likes of Nikki Haley, you alluded to in places like New Hampshire, is the fact that open primaries or states that have very easy, party registration rules, same-day party registration rules could potentially help them. But with Vivek dropping out, again, it was brilliant that Trump took a punch at Vivek, forced his hand, he bowed out. This is called playing politics smart. Now, all of those votes will now be rallying being behind President Trump going into New Hampshire. That's still going to be a win for him. It's usually a strange state normally, so it won't really make a big difference. South Carolina, she's going to get embarrassed. She's going to lose in her home state that she served as the governor of. Nevada is going to be Trump, you know, territory times 10. And then you go into Super Tuesday and the rest of the states, and everyone's going to continue to get embarrassed. So let them get embarrassed. Let them make fools of themselves. It's only going to be better for MAGA. It's only going to serve as more momentum, more morale boosting. And I'm here for it. If they want to destroy their careers and reputations, let them. Let all of these people destroy their careers and reputations and go down with the sinking ship, as we can call it, because Trump is not going anywhere. He's going to be our nominee. And honestly, Jack, I think he's going to be our next president. I say that with a certain degree of confidence that we haven't seen in many years coming out of, you know, the electoral prognosis online and elsewhere.
I want to run through some of the numbers here. Before I do, I want to just say, Gavin, I think you're right that 99 counties, not a lead in one. Imagine going to every single county of Iowa and having every single one of them vote against you after bragging that you'd been there for so many times. And the guy who beats you didn't even go to the debates. He just hung out at Dairy Queens and Pizza Huts and Waffle Houses handing out food to people. Actually spent meeting them where they are.
Spent less than, I think, $400 per voter. And I think both Nikki Haley.
Well, I've got the numbers. I've got the numbers.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I've got it here. So here's the Iowa ad spending. Trump, $18.2 million total. Dollars per vote, $340 per vote. Ron DeSantis, $34 million per vote, $1,697. So $1,700. Nikki Haley spent $36 million per vote, $1,797. $1,700 a vote for Ron DeSantis, $1,800 a vote for Nikki Haley. Donald Trump, resounding over 50-point victory, spending only $340 per vote. What can I say, folks? He's a businessman. He's doing business under budget, ahead of schedule.
Jack, I mean, this just goes to show that money plateaus at a certain point, and it certainly plateaus when you have candidates with no charisma, with no ability to relate to the voters, who have been flip-flopping, who have been showing their disloyalty, and who are running campaigns from 20 years ago, running campaigns that are consultant-approved, that are Beltway-approved. It doesn't matter how much you spend. You hit a ceiling. They hit a ceiling hard. Many people were talking about the turnout. That was the original goalpost, the coping and the seething. Oh, the weather. Oh, this. Oh, that. If anything, I would argue the lower turnout only helped Ron DeSantis, and if the turnout was a little bit higher and you didn't have the snow, you would have seen Nikki Haley come in second, and you would have seen Trump pushing into the mid-50s, high-50s. So this was honestly, in many ways, the best-case scenario for Ron DeSantis, and it still was a massive, embarrassing loss for him and his team. Their cost per voter is atrocious. It's pathetic. It points to what everyone has been saying for months, that this is a campaign run by incompetence,
Gavin,
doubling down.
And I'll just close this block by saying, look, no amount of money will ever compensate for an authentic emotional connection with the voters. If you do not build one, you cannot win. This is not politics the way it has been for so many years, because people have now finally gotten a taste of the real thing. Come back, Human Events Daily with more.
You know, they talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine, Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily. Massive day today. But folks, remember, the world is quickly descending into chaos. And we know that the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it's another pandemic we're talking about, or maybe something closer to home, preparedness is no longer an option. It's a necessity. And that is where my friends at the Wellness Company come in. From something innocent and natural like a tick bite to COVID to the next bioweapon manufactured in some Chinese third world lab, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is what you need to be prepared. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, emergency antibiotics, the Z-Pak, and so much more, as well as a guidebook to aid in the safe use of these life-saving medications. The Wellness Company and their doctors, including Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Reich, Dr. Drew, yes, Dr. Drew Pinsky, and Dr. Robert Seek, and so many more, are medical professionals. You can trust them. Rest assured that what you will be ready and your family will be ready for whatever Klaus Schwab and the globalists throw at us next. To order, just go twc.health/poso. That's twc.health/poso and enter promo code POSO for 10% off. The wellness company and their licensed doctors are medical professionals you can trust, and their medical emergency kits are the gold standard to keeping you and your family safe. Again, twc.health/poso, promo code POSO, 10% off. Check out the site. You can see all the details. If you need a prescription, you'll find all the information there. All right, I want to go in on this, folks. I want to go in. All right. That's an ARG poll. That's terrible. I want to get some of these polls up for New Hampshire because we do have to look at New Hampshire. I know we've been talking about Iowa for all this time, but Nikki Haley made this comment last night where she said it's now a two-person race. And I want to explain that to people. What she was talking about is the fact that DeSantis only had a path if he won Iowa. He did not. But Nikki Haley knows that she's been polling better in New Hampshire, and she knows, of course, that South Carolina comes up after that. So, Gavin, talk to me about the fact that why hasn't Ron DeSantis dropped out of the race if we already know the only potential path he had open is now closed to him?
Well, listen, I don't think Ron DeSantis is tethered to reality. I think he's living in La La Land, completely delusional. I used to think that it was his consultants and some of his circle around him that were leading him astray, but it looks like he's really the guy leading himself astray. I mean, that speech he gave last night was pretty hilarious. I mean, you would think he won the Iowa caucuses the way he was talking. I mean, he's just not living in reality. But I agree with what you're saying.
I got to say, he looked great, too. He's like a new suit on. It's tailored. It's finally found a suit that fits. I was like, wow, this is an incredible speech in like some kind of alternate universe or something. I mean, it just all of the preconceived notions, all the entire coherent argument that he had for his candidacy evaporated the moment before he walked up on stage. And so, look, I said last night on the live stream, just bend the knee. Bend the knee, make a deal, go back to Florida. Maybe we'll have a conversation in a couple years if you put in some work, you know, behind the desk. But man, that speech was just it's as you say, Gavin. It's not just the consultants, it's not just the donors, it is the man himself.
Agreed. And, you know, they certainly didn't help, but it looks like he's going to double down on destroying all the political capital he has left nationally and in his home state. But going forward, he's irrelevant. He's getting maybe 5% in New Hampshire, you know, some distant place. I mean, it's going to be a horrible showing for him. It's not a state that he does well in, mostly because he put all his eggs into the Iowa basket and it ruined his chances going forward. Again, diversification, it's key in investing and it's key in your electoral strategy. He didn't follow that advice at all, but that's what you pay $40 million for. Anyway, going on to Nikki Haley, I mean, really, this is just like battling for scraps at this point. I mean, she's talking a big game about New Hampshire, which is a small state. And while, yes, she has seen a surge there, the numbers have gotten a little tighter. President Trump is certainly still going to win. He was going to win without Vivek dropping out. He's certainly going to win now with Vivek out of the race. And at the end of the day, she's then going to go into South Carolina and come in a distant second place to Trump in a state that she won, which is a massive embarrassment to lose your home state, the state that you were governor of, by such a large number. So whatever path she thinks she has, it also really doesn't exist. The only difference is that she has a little bit more of a padding in time and a little bit of a delay compared to the embarrassment that Ron DeSantis just faced. But the end result is the same. She's still going to lose New Hampshire. Well, maybe it'll be tighter, whatever, who cares. And then she'll go on to South Carolina and Nevada and get wiped. So where's the math? They don't have a path. They don't have anything lining up for them on the map, in the calendar, that's going to work in their favor. I think you alluded to this. Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, they're hoping for a Hail Mary from the DOJ. That's all they're hoping for. And even then, I don't think it's going to be enough for them. That's how behind these candidates are.
You know, Gavin, you know, talking about the math, I do have the poll up. So this is the Saint and Salem poll, a little better than ARG. Just those ARG polls are such a joke. And it's like the WPA polls when, by the way, the DeSantis Super PAC was paying pollsters to attack myself and Tim Pool and spread this doubt that we have no idea what we're talking about. Yeah, POS polls are the gold standard, the gold standard of polling in America today. But we have another one. This is a local poll from New Hampshire. They're a little better at this. This is likely voters, so I already like this poll. And they're talking about the change from came out last week, the change from mid-December to mid-January. So we've got Trump 45 up one, Haley 31 up one. So 45 to 31. So much tighter race we're talking about in New Hampshire there. And this very interesting, Chris Christie at 9%. Now, he had been down 3, but still almost double digits for Chris Christie. This is really the only state anywhere in the union that we saw Chris Christie on the board. I can only speculate what offers Nikki Haley is making to Chris Christie right now to get her, you know, get his endorsement. You know, what'll it be? What'll it be, Chris? What would you like? Step right up, as many meatball subs and, you know, dump trucks full of money that we can think of to give you that endorsement. Maybe her daughter can help him with some TikTok, you know, going viral or something. But, you know, when you really look at it, we haven't seen a poll. I haven't seen a credible poll yet since Christie has dropped out. I would expect a lot of those voters, though, to go to Haley. So you might actually be living in a world where you've got Haley somewhere around high 30s and then Trump at about 45. So that could equal what you're saying, a competitive race, at least in this one state. But I just want to say, you know, Gavin, I'll throw it to you after this, is okay, that's fine. You know, even if she does well in New Hampshire, and let's say she does well but doesn't come out on top in South Carolina, that doesn't talk about, you still have to go to Texas, you still have to go to Tennessee, you still have to go to California, you have to go all the way through the deepest hearts of MAGA country. And I just think that when they get to those states, it's going to be like completely lopsided victories like we saw last night, or even more so.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the best state that she's going to have. It's an open primary. She's courting, you know, Democrats, certain independents. It's not necessarily yes. a pure Republican primary in many ways. And even then, she's still losing. I mean, at the end of the day, to keep these campaigns going, these are massive expenditures. This is a lot of infrastructure. It's a lot of staff. You want to keep this going. You need some momentum. You need some wins. You need some W's. I mean, there's only so many stupid donors out there. And trust me, there's a lot of stupid donors. But even they are not that stupid to keep funding a campaign that's going to continue to lose in states that they should be winning in their home state. I mean, at the end of the day, it just seems like all these losers, these never Trump losers, are replicating Zelensky's strategy in Ukraine. It's a giant delaying action, but they're delaying for the inevitable. The inevitable is that Trump is going to win. There's no saving these candidates. There's no winning for them. They are going to lose. They're going to lose in New Hampshire. They're going to lose in South Carolina. They're going to lose in Nevada. They're not picking up enough delegates. The math is going to be locked in for them. And even if one of them managed to win a state, either if it was Iowa or New Hampshire, it wouldn't matter because President Trump still won in 16, a much more competitive field than he had lost Iowa. So again, losing one state, it doesn't matter. President Trump is probably going to win every state, and they're still acting like that doesn't matter. That's the kind of narrative formation and delusion and gaslighting that these guys are pushing on their voters, on their surrogates, on their donors. I mean, it's a giant scam. It's a giant lie, just like the lie that Ron DeSantis pushed out about the, what was it, 60,000 committed caucus goers. I mean, he didn't even get Trump's numbers in 2016.
Just because someone signs your caucus card to be polite to get you out of their face does not mean that they're going to vote for you in the caucus. I don't understand why people thought this, and this was in the polling, that Ron DeSantis was a lot of people's second choice. And so, sure, I'd be happy to sign your card or something going into it, but it's not going to happen. And I just, you know, I post this on Twitter, I'll say it here. There's no path for DeSantis now. No one is taking his calls for money. He will not make it through March. He will drop out before the contest reaches his home state of Florida because he does not want to be humiliated in his home state. That's what's going to happen. Clip this, bookmark it, whatever you want to do, take it to the bank.
Amen. No, he's setting himself up for one of the biggest humiliations politically. I mean, it didn't have to be this way. But listen, this is what happens when you were promoted beyond your level of competency. That's him. He's been promoted to the national stage beyond his level of competency. You know, he was fine in the Florida media market. You put him on the national stage, you put him on the national circuit campaigning in places like Iowa, and he just couldn't compete. He couldn't hold a candle to President Trump. And he wants to talk about the establishment being on his on Trump's side and all these other nonsensical talking points. This guy had a massive dollar for dollar advantage over President Trump. He bought up all the supposed kingmakers in Iowa. You know, he paid all of these grifters that come around every 4 years or so to lock in the evangelical vote or lock in the Iowa caucus vote. And they did nothing for him. They did nothing. I mean, it just goes to show all of these people failed utterly. They should be, you know, running away in humiliation, putting their head down in shame, but they have no shame.
Gavin, I'm getting a note. I'm getting a note right here, a note from the production staff. It's actually RON polling is the gold standard. RON polling is the gold standard of elections in this country. It is RON. In fact, they were voted 2020's best polling company by People's Magazine. And of course, you know, People's Magazine doesn't just give that out to anyone. Last minute, Gavin Wax. Incredible night. And by the way, even for yourself, I have to say a huge commendation because you took a lot of flack. You took a lot of flack for taking this position personally as well as politically. And now look at you. Now you are on the side that was right all along.
Thank you, Jack. It's always a good day, but we got to pretend like we're 20 points behind going into all these contests. Yes. And certainly going into the general. President Trump has said that. He understands it. We got to be focused. We got to be committed, diligent. You know, the party will be up soon and we'll be focused on New Hampshire and then, you know, defeating old man crooked Joe Biden. So let's see what happens.
All right. Go follow RON polling, everyone, and make sure you're following Gavin Wax because he'll tell you what's going to happen before it does. Pretty soon we'll be joined up next by Caroline Leavitt, the new press secretary for the Trump campaign.
Where's Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack. Thank you. What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzers.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live at Human Events Daily. Very honored to have on here joining us on the show. It is the Trump campaign's national press secretary, Caroline Leavitt. Caroline, thanks so much for joining us today. Tell us, what's the mood like within the campaign coming off of a victory like Iowa? But then, of course, and I know, as you well know, starting to set sights on New Hampshire.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me, Jack. I'm actually coming to you live from the back holding room at President Trump's first event here in New Hampshire. And it is snowing today. It is bitterly cold, just like it was in Iowa. But there is a line around this building of great patriots who are fired up, more fired up than ever, to hear from the former president. Last night's victory in Iowa was historic. President Trump won every single county with the exception of one. He won every single demographic across the board. He had a 30-point victory, broke that 50% threshold that the fake news media was obsessing with, and really just showed that Ron DeSantis can go to as many counties as he wants, but every single one is still going to reject him because he is a phony and a fraud. Same thing for Nikki Haley. People are realizing who she is. That is an open border globalist who is backed by Democrats and will always put America last. It's very clear after last night, Republican voters and all Americans want a president again who is going to put them first. So there's a lot of momentum and enthusiasm on our side. And the Trump train is continuing to roll right into my great home state of New Hampshire.
Well, and I've been looking at some of the, you know, crunching some of the numbers, crunching some of the entrance data as well, you know, going into the Iowa caucus as well as the recent polling. And, you know, if you can share with us, you know, not to put you on the spot, but I'd love to know if you've seen any shift in New Hampshire since Chris Christie has dropped out of the race. Now, of course, he didn't make an endorsement. I'm sure Nikki Haley is trying as much as she can to get that endorsement. But are you seeing any momentum with he almost had double digit supporters there?
Well, a lot of Chris Christie supporters actually were either unregistered voters and or independents who lean Democrat and have voted in the past in Democrat primaries, which you are allowed to do by New Hampshire's election laws. And so those voters aren't going to be motivated to get out and vote for someone like Nikki Haley. They are Democrats who loved fat Chris Christie. I don't get it, but they did. And so I'm sure they're probably just going to stay home after seeing him drop out of this race. What we are going to see is the momentum from the votes rather from Vivek's Ramaswamy's campaign come and join the momentum of the Trump campaign. That will add some votes there for sure. But regardless, you know, President Trump has remained at the top of the leaderboard, and Nikki Haley's unfavorability rating has actually increased as more and more voters here in New Hampshire are exposed to the truth about her record. They now know that Nikki Haley called illegal immigrants not criminals. She said that we should not be disrespectful when talking about illegal immigrants. I'm sorry, how about the disrespect that they show our country and our state every single day by illegally invading our communities and bringing Chinese fentanyl along with them, which, by the way, is having a massive toll on the lives in New Hampshire. We have one of the highest fentanyl overdose rates of any state in this country. So Nikki Haley's comments are offensive to many people here. They're realizing who she is. And so again, that's why President Trump is no doubt going to be victorious. You know, Jack, this is the first state in the nation that propelled the America First movement back in 2016. It was President Trump's first big win. Obviously, he won it in 2020. He will win it for a third time, a night from today.
I remember that. I remember, of course, the narrative coming out of Iowa. Oh, Cruz has got this thing. He's going to go forward. He's got the evangelicals. And then all of a sudden, New Hampshire comes around. And it showed for the first time that Trump could win in these states, could win in these areas. And I do think that New Hampshire, more so than any other state really in the Northeast, you see pockets of this in Maine, but not exactly. I think New Hampshire in many ways votes kind of like a Rust Belt state, because you do have that very large working class population there, that very large working class demographic. And you do, by the way, in addition to some of these unregistered and some of the Democrats, a lot of the Democrats up there tend to be a little bit more, I guess I'll say, culturally conservative, not conservative so much on every social issue, but they're not exactly, put it this way, they're not the woke left. They're not down for the squad and all of these things. Is that some of the stuff that the campaign has been looking at in New Hampshire?
Yes, absolutely. Just bringing common sense back, right? I think that's what people in New Hampshire and frankly every state miss in this country right now. Yeah. Joe Biden's administration has moved so far to the left. He has governed as the most far left liberal president in American history by far. And in New Hampshire, we're seeing the repercussions of that. We're seeing the repercussions of a wide open border policy. We've had a mass influx of illegal immigrants, not just from the southern border all the way up here up north, but we also are suffering from a northern border crisis with Canada, where we've seen a 700%+ increase in illegal migrants coming into New Hampshire's communities. And just a few months ago, actually, there was an illegal immigrant who was convicted of murder 11 times in Brazil and somehow made his way to a coastal seaside wealthy community in New Hampshire. He was caught and arrested there. That sent a shockwave across the state that Biden's border policies are having an impact on us right here in our home state. And then secondly, Jack, it's all about the economy up here. The small business community is the backbone of New Hampshire's economy. I come from a small business family. Neither of my parents went to college. They were doing much better off under President Trump's leadership. The inflation, nobody talked about it because it didn't exist. Interest rates, mortgage rates were record low. We also have some of the highest utility rates of any state in this country. Last winter, I remember talking to families who literally could not afford to heat their homes because of the cost of home heating oil. And same goes for this winter. It's starting to get very cold. And that unfortunate reality was not the case under President Trump. So again, people remember how much better their lives were under his leadership. That's the best message, both here in New Hampshire, but also across this great nation. Common sense Americans, hardworking people, are sick of being ripped off by the political elite, by the corrupt Biden crime family, and they want to return to the policies that made their lives better.
Well, I think it's exactly right. Another angle up there that, of course, I can speak as a former naval officer is you've got the shipyards that are right there. A lot of people in New Hampshire work at the shipyards. But with the Biden administration, with the cuts that we've seen to the military, I have to imagine that's had a huge impact on the workers of that area. You're talking almost 10,000 people that work either directly at the shipyards or businesses related to it or subsidiaries or, you know, secondary, tertiary businesses. How do you think the effect of military spending and these cuts will play out in really just the general as we're looking at it?
Yeah, great point, Jack. In fact, New Hampshire has one of the highest capacity of veterans of any state in this country. A lot of people don't realize that. Yet we're the only state in this country without a fully functioning VA hospital. And that is something that President Trump has promised to do in a second Trump term. Joe Biden has never even visited the state. He came up here once to talk about a bridge that he rebuilt. Nobody cared. As a matter of fact, a great man that lives down the street from that bridge said, I drive across that bridge every day. It doesn't bother me. What does bother me is the fact that I can't afford to heat my home. And so Joe Biden doesn't care about our veterans. President Trump does. He has a deep connection with them. There was a massive Veterans for Trump coalition that was announced by the Trump campaign a couple of months ago at one of his stops up here. And also to your point about the military jobs, we do have the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard. And one of the other largest employers in our state is Sig Sauer, which is a great American-made gun manufacturer. I've toured that facility. President Trump has, too. It is beautiful. And the executives there are worried about relocating for two reasons. One, because it costs an arm and a leg to heat their facility and to keep the lights on in it, where it wouldn't maybe in another state. Of course, it did not cost that much a few years ago under President Trump's leadership. But secondly, they're also increasingly worried about the increased regulation on our Second Amendment rights by the Biden administration. Our state's motto is live free or die. People believe strongly in our Second Amendment rights, medical freedom, parental rights. Those are all things President Trump stands for. Joe Biden does not. And that's, again, why we're going to see President Trump be victorious next week, but also have a really good shot here at winning in the general election as well.
No, I think it's exactly right. Got about 1 minute. Can we hold you over for another break? Can we hold you over the break?
Yes, that works. No problem.
We're good. Like, I got to say, by the way, it's Sig Sauer. When I was in the service, I fell in love with my P226. I love that thing. You know, we got to fire that on the range. I'm telling you, it felt like I was cheating when I was taking the marksmanship test, because this platform just operates so fantastically. By the way, if you guys are interested, if you want to get the P226, you can use your eye target on that. It is a fantastic platform for the people of New Hampshire. You know, this is obviously a huge, huge issue for them, not just in terms of the fact that they're huge Second Amendment supporters, but also the fact that they've got the factory right there. You need to keep those jobs, and you need to keep them in the places where the people actually have the competency to use that. That's the people in New Hampshire. That's the workers of New Hampshire, the workers of New England. And I hope that when President Trump gets back, that they will have their jobs restored. Stay tuned and come back for more. Trump's press secretary, Carolyn Leavitt, joins us here with us today.
When I'm working long hours, I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. We're sitting down with the Trump campaign's new national press secretary, Carolyn Leavitt, and she hails from the great state of New Hampshire. So someone who knows the state like at the back of her hand, because it is her state. Fantastic time to be there. Now, Carolyn, you're there in New Hampshire right now. We understand, is it true that Vivek Ramaswamy will be joining the president at this rally tonight?
That is true. Yes, Vivek is on his way here to New Hampshire after taking a humble pill and dropping out of the race last night, which I think was the right decision to do. He looked in the mirror. He recognized that there was no tangible pathway to the nomination for his campaign. And what he said in his speech was, we're going to unify around the guy that wants to put America first again, and that is President Trump. So kudos to him for doing that. And I think it is because he's not a politician. You have two politicians left in this race, in both Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley, who refused to eat that piece of humble pie that Vivek did. They still look in the mirror and somehow think that they have any chance in hell at winning this nomination. The truth is, Jack, they do not. There is no practical pathway to the nomination for either Ron DeSantis nor Nikki Haley. And I wish they would do the right thing for our country and our party as well, so we can unify and take it to the Democrats. But hey, as long as they're in this race, we're going to continue to take it to them. People deserve to know the truth about their record, and we'll continue to expose it.
You know, something that a lot of people have been asking, and even just myself, you know, looking at it from behind the scenes, is, you know, you've got President Trump. He's there in Iowa yesterday. He's campaigning. He's holding rallies. He's giving a speech, pretty late night speech that he gave. The answer, you know, I think the final tally came in pretty early, but he was speaking up there pretty late. Then he flies to New York. He's in court there today. He's going to New Hampshire already at another rally. I haven't even seen any of the campaigns doing anything. When you're with the president, when you're seeing him do this, and people ask questions about his age, they say he's up there, Biden is up there, but he just doesn't seem seem to be showing any signs of it. If anything, to me, it seems like he's got more energy than like a lot of millennials and Zoomers that I see these days. You know, how exactly, you know, if you're able to give us the secret tips on this, how does he do that?
He's unbelievable. He really is. Like you said, they got in late last night in New York. He was up just a couple of hours later heading to the courthouse. And now he'll come here and I'm sure give a raucous speech like he always does to the hundreds of people that are waiting outside in the snow to hear from him. It's remarkable, but it just shows you his tenacity to fight for this country. Let's not forget, President Trump doesn't have to be doing any of this. He was rich and famous before he decided to step into the political arena. He got slandered and smeared and faced more headwinds than any president in American history for 4 years, yet still had record accomplishments on behalf of the American people. And then they rigged the election from him and he once again decides to step up and fight. They are throwing the legal books at him now and he's still has the energy. It really is remarkable. It's so impressive. It's an honor to work for him. And I think that's why you see just the momentum on the ground for him in state after state, Jack, because people see in him what they don't see in any other candidate on either side of the political aisle. They see a fighter. They see someone who doesn't need money or power or fame, but just has a deep love in his heart for this country and the people of this country. And Donald Trump has been saying the same things about America, calling out this attention to the same issues for decades, long before he ever even decided to run for president. He's consistent. He's tough. He's authentic. Those are three characteristics you cannot use to describe Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, or Joe Biden, for that matter. That's why the people love Trump. He is truly the people's president. And yeah, his energy level, man, it is impressive. It's something to behold. And it's just an honor to be a very, very small part of it.
Well, and the you know, we saw in the entrance polls last night as well, coming out of the caucus, that the top two issues for voters were immigration and economy. And these are clearly issues that hold within Trump's camp more than any other in the entire primary, or quite frankly, for the general. I think if those are the issues, economy, trade, and then, of course, foreign policy, or really just security in general, security, safety. These are the Trump issues that have to be the kind of issues that the campaign wants to talk about. But I know you have to run for another hit, but I'd love to ask if you can give us a little bit of tidbits behind the scenes. Have any of the other camps, the DeSantis camp, you mentioned Vivek is on his way, but what about the DeSantis camp, the Haley camp? Are you getting any feelers? Are you getting any messages, you know, kind of behind the scenes from any of those guys after last night and just the real drubbing that they took?
No, I mean, they made their choices clear last night. They still think that they have a fight in this thing. I think some of their staff certainly doesn't feel that way. I think a lot of people actually see the writing on the wall, but they're just chugging ahead because both of them have egos. They have consultant checks to write. They have big donors that they don't want to disappoint and that they're bought and paid for by. So they're going to continue to pretend like they have a chance. I think after New Hampshire, you're going to see at least one of them drop out. I wish both of them would, again, after last night, to do what's right for this party. But again, as long as they're in this race, we'll continue to take it to them and expose the truth about both of them.
All right, Karen Levitt, the National Press Secretary for Trump 2024. Where can people go to find out about tonight's event and follow you and all the updates?
Yeah, go to DonaldJTrump.com. He is holding a host of events in New Hampshire over the next week. It's going to be a lot of fun for anyone in the state or around it or anywhere that wants to fly up here and join us. It's going to be a great week. You can follow me personally at KLevittNH on Twitter, Truth Social, all over the place. Jack, thank you very much. And thanks for what you do. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. Right back at you. Hope you get to spend some time with family. Hope you get to spend some time at home. Say hi to Grace Curley while you're up there, by the way.
I will.
All right, folks, look. She is the best. She's the absolute best. Folks, we got to understand. It's a big day. It's a big victory. But this is only day one. There are more worlds left. Day one of glory is behind us. But that was yesterday. We have work to do. We have a lot of work to do. We know what the globalists are going to throw at us. We know that they're already talking about taking away the Insurrection Act. They are already talking about the Leave Behind Networks. They're already talking about the maelstrom that will be thrown at us. Are you ready? Are you ready to do what must be done? Are you ready to take it in the face and keep standing the way we've been taking it for the past 8 years? I know you are. I know you are. But the next 10 months are going to be more intense than anything that we've seen in our entire lives. And you have to stay frosty. You got to stay frosty. You have to stay focused. You have to stay on target. We are going to win. We are going to dominate. We're going to win in the North. We're going to win in the South. We're going to win in the East. We're going to win in the West. We're going to win in the center. We're going to win so much that we will run out of places to keep winning. And then we will start to go to the solar system itself to find new worlds to conquer. Maybe we'll boldly go. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay a shirt.